Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hi, I'm Danny Elfman.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Debbie Harry.
This is Chris Steiner Blondie.
This is Ronan Orzabal from Tears for Fears.
This is Billy Idol.
This is Alex Ebert, a.k.a. Edward Sharp, giving the story behind the song.
Hi, this is Peter Chotti, host of The Story Behind the Song. Each month I speak to some of music's biggest artists to get the inside stories behind their most lasting and iconic songs. Join me for new episodes on the third Monday of every month on The Story Behind the Song from the Consequence Podcast Network, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, 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 hey! How y'all feeling?
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
Barry Corder on one side of the country, Brad Steiner on another. I guess we're not bi-coastal. Are we bi-coastal these days?
What would you call it? But
I don't know.
I know, but we're all over.
For you, I just call you bi.
Yeah, we're bi everywhere. But, you know, I'm glad you said that, because think about this, Brad. Our last several podcasts, we've had Orlando, Dallas, mm-hmm. Seattle, and now we're going to go to New York. You're in New Orleans. That to me is the new message. I'm overthinking this, but that
not
to me is
overthinking. Yeah, but that's a message. Yeah, I mean
it's Bonnaroo, right? It's the entire country. It's nuts,
right? And we talk a little bit about that with Ken Weinstein today. It's a very quick pop up episode of the What Podcast, because we've got a little bit of news. We'll talk about my New Orleans thing in an upcoming episode. We'll leave that where it is. Yeah. But we got Ken Weinstein back today, and normally, we'll be honest with you. You know, we're trying to not overdo it with the inside baseball stuff, but things just keep happening over and over
that
it just feels right to talk to some of these guys that are pulling the strings and the levers of all of this for us. So Ken was nice enough to come back on the show. Ken Weinstein from Big Hassle. He's sort of like the promo guy, right? Is that what you would call him? The guy that really is the messenger of the Bonnaroo.
I describe him two ways. He's the media guy. He's the PR guy, number one. That's his official. But he's also the fifth Beatle. He's the first. He's the highest ranking non-Superfly AC Entertainment guy. You know, he's the one.
Where
that
are
they
we
brought
on that list?
That's a good question. I don't. But
the answer is we're not on that list.
We're not on that list, but Ken is. So Ken was there, right? He's there from the beginning, and you're exactly right. I hesitated as to go get him because it becomes, you know, we become the inside baseball guys. But it's sold out, and the fact that it sold out so quickly,
it's something definitely that needs to be paid attention to. And by the way,
correct
in this conversation that we have with Ken. Guys,
yeah,
he
I heard
drops
it.
A big piece of news.
I heard
Did you
it.
Hear it.
I heard
okay.
it. I heard your ears go bing.
Now, I was not going to push it because I don't know if he. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes I think they're doing this on purpose to us, and we just need to stop being surprised when it happens. But there's a little piece of news in here that I think that you're going to like a lot. Plus, when we come back out of this, we got a little bit of news on our side to share with you that we're very excited about.
Very
Ken Weinstein from Big Hassle and one of the curators of your Bonnaroo Experience on the What Podcast.
Hi, guys.
What's up, Brad? How are you doing?
This is really exciting. We get to all talk to each other at the same time and not wear pants.
And well, it's 40 degrees where I am, so unfortunately my pants are on.
Well, this is how you and I are different, Ken. This is how you and I are different.
Yeah, Brad, it's a little bit warmer down there where you are, right?
Yeah, it's doing pretty well. Ken, you've got a pretty easy jog from here until June, huh?
Well, I would say that I don't have to worry about helping sell tickets, but I wouldn't say it's easy because it's still very important to tell Bonnaroo's story. There's a lot of new narratives for 2020, and we're going to keep on telling those stories and getting people excited. I think a lot of what fed this sellout is all the stories we told last year. So, you know, there's a lot of information that's going to come out in the next several months. That'll be pretty exciting.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that sellout. That's the reason we're talking. I mean, the fact that this thing sold out so quickly and has gotten so much energy, right? I mean, people are so excited about this. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think Bonnaroo always... People always say to me, and I might have said this in the last interview, you know, how was Bonnaroo? And I'm like, it's never not great. So I think the word of mouth on the festival couldn't be any stronger than it is right now because, you know, it's the gateway to the summer. It's a rite of passage. It's a state of mind that people want to tap into. And we're incredibly inclusive. We're a bunch of nice people. We're a bunch of loving people. We're a bunch of music-loving people. And we just like having a good, fun, safe time together. And everyone's welcome. Everyone's invited. All types, kinds, sizes, creeds, everything. And it's the land of acceptance, and Bonnaroo is the best. And people love that. Who wouldn't want to be there?
Yeah, it is quite amazing, and it's got to be a source of pride when you get to, you know, look at the calendar and say, oh my goodness, we sold out quicker than we ever have. I mean, this is not something that major festivals can say that they do on a regular basis with this type of, you know, quickness. It just doesn't happen very often. It's a testament to everything that you were saying, the story that's been told, the feeling that has been created by Bonnaroo and over the year after year after year and what you guys are continually to build. And, you know, at some point you got to look around and be like, what more is there that we can do? But you guys are continually find new ways to super serve the audience, huh?
Well, that's for sure. You know, we never sit on our laurels. We are always looking for ways to improve. And even though we sold out last year, we still want this year to be better. And there's a lot of focus on that. And we want to make sure everyone's happy. We want to stay current. We want to do new stuff. And there's a lot of, and people know that. And that's why they keep coming back, because they know we're creative and that, you know, we're going to keep on injecting new, cool, interesting things into the fabric of the festival. I would like to say the wording is important here because it's not the fastest we sold out, but it is the earliest we sold out.
Right.
2002 sold out in 19 days. Can't beat that too easily. Second one, 2003, sold out nearly as fast-ish, but this one is the earliest. So we have never sold out. We've never sold out before March 1st before. That's unheard of. And I think, it's because of, you know, people want to tap in and come hang out. And they know we do things right down there, and they know it's a lot of fun. And the lineup is insane.
Well,
yeah, and I think the way you said earlier is exactly right. And I think that is part and parcel of why we love Bonnaroo so much. It's never not great. I mean, that if there's anything that is more of a Bonnaroo, it could be a Bonnaroo catchphrase. Never not great.
Never not great. I like it. Bonnaroo, never not great.
pouring down rain. Maybe a lineup that maybe doesn't hit 100% for you. Maybe you know, you had a bathroom emergency that really screwed up a day or two for you. It's never not great.
100%. You know, I just came back from fish in Mexico, and that was an incredible experience, not just because everyone was in Mexico, but because of these like-minded people getting together, gathering. It's where they see each other. That's where they come to catch up, hang out, dance, see great music, but really to connect. And when I was in a band in the 90s, tiny band, you know, we would draw like 30 or 40 friends every time we played. When we broke up, our friends were like, we're never going to see each other again. You know, like, this is what brings people out. And it's where it's a gathering that created, you know, that's created by the band, that's, and it becomes something bigger than the band. And I think Bonnaroo has achieved over its 19 years something very similar, that it's bigger than the festival itself. We're talking, you know, we're talking people's, you know, lives being changed on an annual basis there. Growing, maturing, meeting friends of a lifetime, meeting spouses of a lifetime, you know, it's very super unusual.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask. First of all, I wanted to go back and point out that the last two sellouts are, you know, kind of coincidentally because, you know, the What podcast has come online. So,
Look at that guy.
So, are you saying the What podcast helps us sell out?
Are you going to say it's not? You know,
I'm ready to agree, Barry.
We're gonna claim it anyway.
I swear to God, if I would have said that, I would have gotten kicked in the face.
I'm gonna do it. Well, you know, the timing is just what it is. But one of the things that that Brad and I have really learned in doing this is it's across the country, it's across the world. I mean, the people that we talk to as part of this podcast, Ken, are Orlando, Dallas, Seattle, and everybody has a very similar story. It's remarkable when we break it down that everyone has the same vibe, the same feeling. It doesn't matter if it's 30 minutes from Manchester or, you know, 5,000 miles, it's the same vibe. That's a really weird thing, and not weird. It's a remarkable thing, right?
It's a very remarkable thing, and I think there's a lot of focus these days in the news and about you know, how the world is divided, and you know, there are a lot of, dare I say, walls between people based on ideology, religion. That stuff makes me really sad because it takes out the human element, and human beings should just be together and get along. And I'd hate to think who you think should be president, or, you know, what version of the Bible you read could separate you. But at the end of the day, what Bonnaroo shows and other gatherings like it is that no matter, like you said, no matter how far and wide, there are people who are just like one another, who come together to be together and share in this, in these great experiences that truly are the fabric of humankind.
It is the one thing that binds us all together, no matter what our differences are. I have a couple of maybe they're not process questions, but just real quickly and clarify this, because I don't know how this works, but what does Bonnaroo do specifically to curb or fight or whatever the word might be, even if it may be a completely different word, against aftermarket retailers, second market retailers, when they see a ticket online that's $800, $900? What does Bonnaroo do anything about that?
That's above my pay grade, Brett.
Yeah.
I actually don't know the answer to that. I would answer it if I knew the answer, but I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
But we don't like, no one likes anyone being ripped off, that's for sure.
Yeah, I got you.
Along those lines, I guess maybe,
Ken, I had a question about demographics. I was just thinking today, but demographically, who's coming to Bonnaroo? Because that's one of the things Brad and I have, like I mentioned earlier, they're coming from all over the country. What are you guys finding?
They're coming from all over the world, and it's, you know, while I haven't seen recent demographic numbers, they're, really, it's incredibly eclectic and diverse. All ages, all genders. Yeah. You know, it's really, it's a real diverse collection of people. I was going to use the word fabric again because my parents were in the garment industry, so I decided not to.
To that point, when you said that, you haven't seen the demographics yet, is that something that you guys can see today, or is that something that you don't see until much further down the line?
Well, it's 2020, Brad, so we're living in a society of metrics, and all these numbers are available to everybody all the time. I mean, you'd be shocked if you saw the back end of Spotify.
Yeah, I know. That's sort of where
metrics,
I'm going.
The metrics they collect are wild.
Yeah. And what's that doing to drive decisions that are being made for maybe that are changing your direction for 2020 on, like, tomorrow? Or is it changing anything as you see the demographics come in, and is it just making you recalibrate maybe some plans that you have already?
I think the answer to that question really is, like, you know, on one hand, don't fix what isn't broken. And on the other hand, you know, just make sure you're serving up, you know, you're just being creative. And, I mean, if you're just cooking dinner for one group, there's another group that, you know, if you're really, like, focused in on a recipe that only one group is going to like, then the other group's going to be unhappy. I think the idea is really to have something for everyone. That's why Miley Cyrus is opening up for Tool in that slot. And I think, I wouldn't say opening up, but coming before is a better way of putting it. But on one hand, this is an interesting point. I'm kind of actually going to go back on myself here, because on one hand, while you can't focus only on one group, and because the other group will be unhappy, at the same time, Bonnaroo knows how eclectic its fan base is. And, you know, more people would be at least interested in seeing Miley. More Tool fans would be interested in seeing Miley and hanging out and watching that act than you'd imagine. And I think that Bonnaroo really respects its fan base, knowing that it's the most open-minded fan base in the world, really, certainly in the country. You know, so I think to answer your question more succinctly, you know, you have to follow your nose, follow your gut, try to cook up things that respect your audience, and because they're smarter than you think.
Yeah.
See, this is what's so interesting, and this is the kind of thing that we talk about, that we think happens, but this is the reality. I mean, you guys understand that the Bonnaroo audience is a different audience, right? It wants
Absolutely.
To hear. Yeah.
They are very open-minded, open-hearted. They're a very special group of people, really special. And they follow us, or, you know, the word of mouth follows us. Even if the same person who came year one isn't there in year 19, that person told someone who told someone who told someone who is coming this year.
I went back and listened to our interview with you at the end of, a couple years ago. And, I mean, what is the file that you have? Summer Festival?
Summer Festival.
That's nuts. Yeah. And to think, here it is, and it's sold out in 6 weeks, basically, right? 2 months?
Yeah, basically.
basically, yeah.
I mean, what is that? I know
so
what it means.
It's exciting because it affirms and confirms what we were thinking all along, you know, and there's no better feeling. It's great to, you know, there's just no better feeling than to nail it at that level where people are so excited about something you built.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Man, that's a great point, though. I'm sorry, Barry, to interrupt, but that's a great point. So when did you specifically, because you've been around for a very, very, very long time when it comes to this, when was it in your heart, did it hit that, yeah, you got to the next level, then you hit the next level, and you can feel it, you can probably see it. But when did you feel that you hit that top, like that upper echelon, you looked around like, oh my God, I think we got it. I think we
year one.
Really?
Right from the beginning, it was clear that we tapped into something very special right from the get-go. I told you that story in the last interview about, you know, the founders, you know, on the main stage when Trey with the orchestra was about to begin and looking out at the 70,000 and going, you know, wow. You know, really tapping into something that, you know, I make a joke with my friends and my family. I'm always like, we need to invent the brick. We need to invent something that everyone needs.
Yeah.
And doesn't know that they necessarily need it. Everybody needs the brick.
Yeah.
You know, so Bonnaroo was, you know, one of those types of inventions, you know, like no one realized that it was a void, but it wasn't just a void for just anything. There's a lot of care and thought put in, and people recognize how much care and thought and the response that they know they're coming and being well taken care of and that it's going to be great. It's not haphazard. This is like programmed but just enough, it's just enough programming to make it perfect and not too much to make it too uptight and organized, you know, like an organized fun vacation at a Club Med. You know, it's not too uptight. It's just tight enough with the right creativity and the right care, but allows people to make it their own at the same time. And right from year one, we knew that, you know, it was done the right way. When I was asked, you know, after Superfly left, it's the first year without Superfly, you know, when I was asked, what do you recommend, Ken? What should we do? And I said, don't change. Just, you know, don't, you know, there's that phrase, keep Austin weird. Yeah. I, about Austin, Texas, you know, keep on weird. And it is. It's as weirdly beautiful as ever.
And that was that.
And everyone's tapping in and coming out.
That all gets to my where I was going to go with. I want to give you the chance because 2016, you know, the numbers were down. And as Jeff Cuellar pointed out, it still was the largest festival in the country or close to it.
Right.
You know, don't just overlook that. You know, it was.
And you know what was great in 2016?
Yeah, we had room.
Everything. Everything was great.
Everywhere was one of our favorites.
No. You know what was great in 2016? Bonnaroo.
It was great.
Yeah, exactly. Never great.
It's never not great. So, yeah, the numbers were down that year for whatever reason. But, like, it was still literally the greatest weekend of 2016.
So some of the folks, you know, online are saying you guys reinvented or you this or that or whatever. But you sold out last year. You sold out this year very, very quickly. So, I mean, yeah, 16 was sort of
Bottle's a living, breathing organism, and, you know, it's going to shapeshift, and the founders are smart enough, and the, you know, the promoters, the organizers, they're all smart enough to not be rigid, you know? No one thinks they're perfect. Everyone is going to react to what the fans want. Everyone's going to react to what society's looking like, culture's looking like, you know?
Yeah, and by the way, that's talk about an ever-changing, growing being. You know, you mentioned it a few minutes ago. that, you know, no matter what your political stance or your religion, boy, it just so happens that Bonnaroo has sold out the last couple of years and really found a niche in the most polarizing time in the in our lifetimes, you know?
Right.
It's just odd how that all works out. It's like the thing that brings us all back together. But back to something that you just said, and I never really thought about it before, but when they came to you and asked you, you know, what you thought, and I'm not saying you or somebody else, but was there ever a discussion that Bonnaroo could be bigger or smaller? Were those options thrown out there just to, you know, see what happened?
Well, it did go to 90,000 1 year, I forgot what year that was. It might have been 05. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure those discussions happen. Not in front of me.
Okay.
I'm not invited to that table, and that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, look. You've got several festivals around the country that go 2 weekends. You've got Jazz Fest that goes for 2 weeks. If you wanted to, you could literally keep people in Manchester camping for a month if you really wanted to. I can think of two. May not leave.
I can think of two, right?
That would make Coffee County very happy.
Yeah, I've got to wonder, like, there's got to be some sort of conversation like that just to throw stuff against the wall and see if ideas would stick and wonder how far those conversations had gotten.
What I do know about the great founders and organizers of Bonnaroo, from what I know, and I know them pretty well, they talk about everything. So everything gets broken down and discussed. So I'm sure they talk about that too.
Interesting.
I think that's a big part of what we've learned, Ken, in the 3 years that we've been doing this, and the fact that you come on here and talk about it, and Jeff Quayer comes on here and talks about it, and Ted Heinig and Brian and Steven came on and talked about how they booked the festival. I mean, there's so many things about that I find fascinating. One, that people care. I mean, that's the thing, and it's not just me and Brad. It's people all over the country. We're obsessed with this sort of thing, and we
love it.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. And so
we love cooking for you, Barry.
Thank you. Yeah.
We love cooking for you. And yeah. I will tell you back to the thing that Brad said before. I think, you know, these are divisive times, and I think maybe that is why it's selling out, because people are really requiring, you know, like, you know, give me that blanket. I need a little bit. I'm kind of cold. So, you know, I think people are, like, looking for a little, body warmth. Looking to gather and feel safe.
Who wants a body warmth? Come to a Camp Nut Butter. Barry's got plenty of it.
Yeah.
Very warm at Camp Nut Butter.
Moonshine and pimento cheese. But let me ask you this, Ken.
That's a lethal combination.
Yeah.
I think people are wondering. So 80,000 is sold out, right? That's the number.
Right.
All right. And Brad is
there
asking,
are some, by the way, just to put it out there, make sure the listeners know, there are some the National Shuttle tickets, there are some of those available. So, you know, those people who are, you know, there are still ways in. So just look online and look at Bonnaroo.com, because the 80,000 tickets are gone, but there are still limited ways in.
So what is the add-on number? What is the op number? What's the extra number? What's the staffing? I mean, because
I'm not sure what the staffing is this year, but, you know, probably grows by 5,000 from that, or, you know, 5,000. I don't really know the answer to that, but it's a big staff to do what we do.
It's huge. It's huge. That's what we're trying to figure out. I mean,
it takes a village. It takes the seventh largest city in Tennessee.
Hey, Ken. Okay, let me ask you this. The you guys, you just said something that was really interesting. So it's like a warm blanket. It's a feeling that is emitted from all the good places that we maybe throw deep down under, and we don't really engage with on a regular basis. What
Do you feel a responsibility? Maybe not you specifically, but do you think Bonnaroo feels a responsibility to lead in that area? Do you feel like it's like on them to create something, or do you think that it's more of a general created feeling by the fan and by the space? Is it more of a magical thing that's grown from the earth, if you will, if you want to start talking witchy stuff, or do you think it's Bonnaroo's responsibility to create this and lead in the way of creating positivity and love and warmth?
Well, I tell all my clients that you can't paint your canvas while looking over your shoulder. I feel like, you know, that can get you in trouble. You can overthink. But, you know, Bonnaroo is, you know, I think there is a certain magic potion to it. But nothing at that festival happens without a lot of thought and care. And yeah. I think it is aware of its place in society and its place in the fabric, there I go again, of the industry, so to speak. And I think there's a little bit of pressure to be Bonnaroo, but I think there's also a magic. So it's that weird combination of things that you can't put your finger on, probably. I think, you know, you can't cook it up. You wouldn't be able to put a recipe in the book and make it happen again.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I think Tennessee has a lot to do with it too, just the location, you know?
Well, that was my question. You're in New York. I mean, Brad and I are 60 miles away, and we bring it home with us. What's it like for you? I mean, does Bonnaroo live in your world 365, or do you go back and it's, you know, you had a good week and everything changes?
Well, me personally, Bonnaroo is in my life 365 days. It's part of my everyday existence all the time. But it's a mindset that sticks with me all year round, for sure. You know, I learn from Bonnaroo too. I learn from Bonnaroovians. I learn from the people I work with, the people who I, you know, and I learn from the people who go down to the festival. I take that in. None of it's lost on me in terms of, you know, how we get along as people.
Yeah.
You say you live at 365, and I know that, you know, when we talked to, you know, Brian and Steve, they would tell us it's their job to think about this every day. I mean, first and foremost, they've got a lot of other stuff to deal with. The fact that they're dealing with Bonnaroo and other festivals every single day is almost beyond my comprehension. But, you know, that's somebody's job. Do you think that people like, you know, Barry and I and some of the others are weird?
That's a fair question. That's a great question.
I think the two of you are weird, but not because of Bonnaroo.
I would have it no other way, to be honest with you.
You know, there's a Bonnaroo. I mean, people are posting about Bonnaroo all year long. I don't think it's weird. I think, you know, it's like what I was saying before about Fish Mexico. You know, people want to go out. You know, the guys in Fish know that thing that they have is bigger than their own band that they've created. It goes way further than the band and its songs, and it's this way deeper thing that connects people. And so if you look at it that way in terms of human connection, it's just not weird at all. You guys are obsessed about it because you the endorphins that are created by the concept of Bonnaroo, you want to keep tapping into that. You want that again and again and again. So,
I think the point here is, I'm going back to the beginning. Brad, you know, you and I talked to folks from Orlando, Dallas, Seattle. We've got Ken, who was there from the beginning, and we all have the same connection, right? I mean, we're not making this up. This festival is something different that we've all.
I was talking to the editor of Polestar, the music editor of Polestar, and his name is Ed Gensler. Great guy. Came to Bonnaroo last year for the first time, and we were talking on Friday, and he said a mutual friend of ours asked him if he was going to go back to Bonnaroo, and he hasn't made his plans yet, and you know, he has kids and, you know, all these obligations. But, you know, he said, he's like, I'm really thinking about it. It was just so good. Everything. Mm-hmm. He started going over all the things that he loved about last year and just being there. And he's drawn to just wanting to feel that again.
Yeah.
So I think what you're talking about, guys, is very universal and not weird at all.
Yeah, well, okay, but you are still a person. You are still a human being that has your creature comforts. What are the biggest struggles for you to be on a farm for a week?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I probably struggle with how do you cover everything that you want to cover, you know? You want to see every band. You want to catch every DJ. You want to visit every plaza. You want to be able to capture in writing, I think is the key here. You want to be able to capture in writing what your eyes see and what your heart feels and what your ears hear, you know what I mean? And your soul takes in. So, I mean, how do you capture in words what sort of you almost can't put into words? That, if I was a media, member of the media, that would be my struggle.
Yeah. And you think that you'd be the same GA person too, I bet, trying to see everything.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it's so funny that you say you make it that, because somebody like me who struggles with just general living, it's the heat, right? It's the elements. It's the heat. It's the rain. It's the feeling like I just want to die for about an hour in the day, but then by 7 o'clock, it's all worth it again. You know, I do think that we do paint a very rosy picture of it in general, because there's a rosy picture to paint, but, you know, it does come along with some real things. And I want to talk, you know, in future weeks about, like, first timers. We've talked about it in the past and some real realities that you have to, you know, understand. I mean, there are certain things that you need to be prepared for, and the heat and basically an onslaught of rain is very possible. But again, like Ken says, it's never not great, Barry.
No, he's exactly right. It's never not great. I mean, I think one of the things that make
Bonnaroo special from a performance point of view, and I think we might have covered this in the last interview, is you know, what you're saying is, you know, people are definitely up against the elements. They are, like, they're embedded in this wild, you know, not so much survival game. It's not. You know.
Not anymore. No, not anymore.
No, it's more of a we're all in it together.
But it's definitely, you know, you're definitely putting yourself out there, and you're living amongst it for those 4 days, and that, you know, that vibe of living there and living with everyone else and really kind of going up against the elements, that's why the energy from that crowd,
that's right,
gives so much to the band, and then the band send it right back. And that's why some of my favorite performances of all time have been at Bonnaroo, because that energy exchange is so unique to that very place, that very farm.
Right. That's right. You're not, and again, you're never going to get that from, you know, well, you can, but City Festival is hard for you to get there because it requires an amount of vulnerability that if I were to tell any first timer or second timer who's still on the fence, or maybe your friend who, you know, industry people who still look at it like, I don't know if I can do that. If you allow yourself to be vulnerable, and if you allow yourself to let go, it really will reward you 10 times over.
You're in New York. You've probably seen a show or two, right? I mean, you see them every day. You could go every day, and Bonnaroo is special to you.
It is fascinating. It is really fascinating, and you know, we're all just like shaking our head and raising our hands and toasting and cheering, and it's a beautiful thing. And again, it's just so great to be it's so affirming and life affirming to know that you built something that people like so much and want to be there because you built it. And you know, cause you know what, if you build it, they won't necessarily come. You got to build it right.
Yeah, well,
so,
they come back.
And you got to make them come back. So, you know,
so if you put your crystal ball, your head to your eyes to your crystal ball, what is the thing that you are
two things. The thing that you're most excited about, maybe a show you're most excited about, an artist that you're most excited about for 2020, or a change. And secondly, what's the biggest change that you're excited about to see?
Well, there's a lot of changes that we're about to announce in a, you know, a lot of the things that are going to happen in the plazas. Very exciting. Like I said this last year, you know, like it'll remain true again that you could not step in. If you didn't step in Center Rue, you'd still have the weekend of a lifetime. So there's a lot of great announcements that are going to come down the pike about what's happening out in the campgrounds and at the plazas. So I'm pretty pumped about that. And, gosh, in terms of being excited for a show, I mean, there's just too many to mention, frankly. I'm excited for that Tool headlining slot in a big way. I'm also excited for the Turkish band Altıngün.
Yeah,
they're going to be there. But, I mean, literally just too many to mention. There's, it's bonkers. That lineup is nuts. And then there's some, you know, I guess back to the struggle for anyone going, whether you're media or just a person as a, you know, just a fan, you know, the FOMO factor, because you want to be everywhere at the same time.
Yeah.
You want to be at Plaza 9 and you want to be at the main stage. Those are very far apart.
By the way, that's something we haven't talked to you since the lineup dropped. When you saw it, far before anybody else saw it, did you know it was going to be this well received? Did you have a feeling that this is going to be really good?
I will tell you that I sent three letters back to, it was a simple email with three letters back to the person who sent me the lineup when it was finalized and done, and that was W-O-W.
What does that spell?
Whoa. Oh, wait, that's W-H-O-A, four letters.
Yeah, it's a little ones of you, I think.
I saw that lineup and we were all just pretty blown away. Like, wow, this is a good one.
Yeah,
God damn.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I knew that's, you know, the thing is with Bonnaroo again, see the lineup, I just know that's the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more to that festival.
Right.
And that's why I say there are a lot of festivals, but there's only one Bonnaroo, and that's because the lineup is just the tip of the iceberg.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, that's what we keep coming back to. I mean, it's so much more. The experiences, the out in the GA, it's just a game changer. I mean, we would have never considered going out there, Ken, 3 years ago. And now we're like, dang, we're in the wrong spot.
I tell you, I've been going out to GA. I've been going out to the campgrounds in all 18 years, and it's always fascinating out there and always amazing. It's a real treat to see how creative the fans get out there. But now, starting with a few, you know, with, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years ago, the programming out there just keeps on getting better and better and better and better.
Yeah, it was one thing.
It's all very integrated into the fan experience. Nothing feels out of place or forced. It's just, you know.
So I have an idea. What
everything feels like a pop-up.
What do you feel like? What do you feel about this idea, Ken? You, me, Barry, Lord Taco. We take a stroll through campsites and just go talk to people randomly in the campsites.
Let's do it.
The festival. What do you think?
My golf cart is your golf cart.
I love it.
Is that a euphemism?
Does it have to be?
This turned really dirty, really quickly,
real fast.
Yeah,
all right.
That's so exciting. I love talking to you. I feel like me as a radio guy, right? I know when I can talk to somebody and hear them and feel like they're my pal, and I don't even know them. And I, knowing the listener the way that I feel like I know them, I think that you are everybody's best Bonnaroo friend. We can't thank you enough for everything you've done for the show, for the festival, and you know, we're just excited to see you again at Camp Nut Butter, man.
Well, the feeling is heavily mutual, Brad. And Barry, you know, Brad, you and I just met. Barry and I have known each other for years, and any friend of Barry's is a friend of mine. But yeah, we are clearly like-minded people, and I'm excited to hang.
A sold-out bottle.
Sold out, man.
nuts. I can't thank Ken enough. Unbelievable. You know, it blows my mind, Brad, that all these people across the country, we're all of a mind. It's so similar. You know what I mean?
It's true.
Anyway.
Well, we're not that similar. I've seen some of the guys with their shirts off. We look nothing like but we are pretty similar.
Fair
in
enough.
Some form of fashion.
Fair
all
enough.
Right, there you go. Scary Quarter, Brad Snyder. We'll be back next week with a Bonner Roulette two-parter on the What Podcast. See you then.
Bye.
Hey. How y'all feeling?
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year? That matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Quarter.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.